This is with a Nebi. We're learning with Hashem's help. Gan HaShalom, the God of peace, guide to a better, more fulfilling, more complete marriage. Arav Shalom Arosh Shlita. Learning in the Hebrew version, we are up to page 131. We're in our chapter, which is dealing with that sensitive subject of the physical relationship between a man and a woman. And Rav Arosh is pointing out the dangers which are inherent in that relationship due to the fact that a man needs to struggle with his ta'avat li'uf, with his lust for women. Because of that struggle and because of that enormous yetzer hara that exists in that situation, it's quite easy, unfortunately, for a man to fall into lust and to ruin his shalom by it, destroy his home, and hurt his relationship with his wife very much in the process. So, let's continue. Avash writes, "Hayachas hachan v'gluy hachiba sheba lifnei hazivug chashuv ma'od lisha." The kindness and affection and warmth that a husband shows to his wife before they are together is very important to the wife. Kafi shekva katav Rav Shlomo Volbe, like that which Rav Shlomo Volbe wrote as follows. Hakirva hagufanit hi shochad chazak. The physical intimacy is a strong bribe. Aval bat hazug eina meshuchedet mehakirva hagufanit. But the woman, the wife, is not bribed by physical intimacy. Adraba, on the contrary, tokadei hamaga hagufani, himargisha bekeev atzur she'ein kan adayin kirva nafshit. On the contrary, although for a man physical intimacy is a huge bribe, right? For a woman, it's not the case. He says the opposite. He says a woman within that physical intimacy, the woman feels a terrible pain due to the fact there is still a lack of spiritual intimacy. Right, so whereas a man is very happy to just simply enjoy the physical intimacy, not so with a woman. They're not built like us, strangely. She is actually concerned at that time with the fact that there's no spiritual intimacy. That's what, and therefore it's, she can be very distressed by that. Kizot aleinu ladak, but we have to know this. Hayichud hu si shel kilva. The although physical intimacy is the peak or the height of being close, of closeness between a man and a woman, aval kol si, but every peak, kodemet lo hitpatchut ad shemagin alav. Every peak has a journey that must be gone down in order to reach it. If there is physical intimacy without spiritual intimacy, this distresses, upsets the wife. The eyes of a woman The woman is really looking at the closeness of the spiritual connection she has with her husband, and the love and attention that he's paying her. That's her concern at that time. If there is that relationship, then the wife is also desiring to have close physical union too. But if the husband is not showing her true love and attention, constant closeness of mind and soul. Mashpila ota v'kohevet la. It causes her to feel disgusted. Mashpila la ota. It brings her down v'kohevet la, and it hurts her. V'yomad kol adam devarim elu b'simat lev. And every man should learn these things with paying close attention to them, because these are the fundamental principles of a person's personal life. And also the success of a man in all matters of parnasa, whether they're an increase or decrease in parnasa, or whether his panasa will come easily, or through struggles, the simcha or ba'atzvot, through happiness or through sadness. A kol talui b'gever. Everything depends on the man. Shehu zocher lechiot imishto ba'ava amitit, that he needs to be to live with his wife, by showing her true love. Sheava zo hi totza'a shishiva, and this love is a result of a bitul ha'ta'ava mechad kisa, cancelling this lust. Hagbarat ha'hakara b'metziut shel isha u'tzrichecha nafshecha meidach kisa, and his recognition of her as a cherished person and not as a mere vehicle to fulfill his desires. So that's Rav Wolbe's advice. What's he saying? He's saying that man needs to realize that his view of physical intimacy is not the same as his wife's view of physical intimacy. Man's view of physical intimacy is very black and white. Doesn't care. He's very happy with the physical side of the relationship, and to be truthful, let's be truthful, he doesn't care about the spiritual side. It'll be nice, yes, very nice to also be spiritually close, but it's not top on the list of priorities. Right? But not so with a woman. She is not the same. She cares very much about whether there is a spiritual connection going on. And it can be very painful for her if she feels that there is not, that that's lacking, that the husband is simply fulfilling his own desires. Right? And that means we've got work to do, gentlemen. That's not an easy task. And 99% of the world are not even aware that they have a task to do in this area. And of those 1% that are aware, even a small number of them are actually trying. However, Just because it's a difficult job, and just because everybody else is ignoring it, doesn't mean that we should. When we get to Shamayim, we still have to answer to why we didn't. And we're in that 1% that are aware, because we've now read the book. We are aware now that we do have a job in this area. We're also aware that this job is entirely achievable. It is entirely achievable. It's not something that's the reserve of Sadiqim. Well, what Rav Shalom is asking here is actually very straightforward. A person needs to try and give his wife true love and true appreciation at that time, and not to switch off and forget about her and then remember her later on when he wakes up. Right? That's not the job. Top. And he will get a very great reward when he does that, because he's out of, I don't know how many people in this world now, 6 billion people in the world, and there's a handful that are actually doing this. So fine, you're one of a handful of 6 billion that managed to do it. Yofi, there's a great reward in that. You can be very pleased that Hashem has given you the opportunity of all the other people in the world. He said, no, I'm going to bring you personally to the knowledge that this is your task, because you're a person who can achieve this. I'm not telling this to anyone else. I'm telling this to you because I think you can achieve it. I know you can achieve it, otherwise I wouldn't have asked you to do it. No test which Hashem puts us through that we can't achieve. Ha'isha mitalva lebala, lo mitzad hatava gashmit, ela lekabel mimenu yachas. A wife desires her husband not from the side of physicality, rather to receive from him a yachas, the relationship, and to receive from him the that relationship. Chom ahava, warm from love. Kashezeh hasel, when that's missing, ha'ikah hasel, the ikah, the main thing is missing. The hainush kshabal einonoten liishto yachas, when a husband does not provide this to his wife. With sumat lev amitit, when he does not give her true attention, true attention, true appreciation. As a kol hasel, then everything is missing. And even worse than this, husband can transgress, how do we say it in a nice way? No, he skipped that bit. I think, unless I'm missing it in the text. But what does he mean? Let's say how it says. Husband can also transgress the prohibition of raping his wife. That's what the words mean. He's raping his wife. Why? Ki kovetzono hu rak lemale tavato, because all of his desire is only to fulfill his lust. Kamash yoter maher, the quicker the better. Va'az hayichud nechshav kones, and then the intimacy between them can be considered as forcing yourself on a woman is, as we know, is that's rape. So even though, you can get the picture. Therefore, a person who wants to fulfill the mitzvah of being with his wife truly, in order to make his wife happy, and not to fulfill his own lusts, he needs to come to her with a desire, the will to join with her in a spiritual way, with lots of patience and sensitivity. Udavei Tahabe, to speak with her a lot. Like Shivla Lishabechata, to pay attention to her and to praise her. To give her compliments. Kagon, for example, Eza Hochmaat, how wise are you? Eza Novonaat, how clever, different type of wisdom, are you? Eza Tovaat, how good are you? Eza Pais Zachiti, what an amazing prize I merited to have. He needs to pray and to request from Hashem. That Hashem will give him all types of ideas. How to compliment her. And to shower her with respect and love. We need to ask Hashem for that. Right? Although there is all these problems and all these obstacles that stand in the way, our job is simply to ask Hashem for help. If a husband approaches the situation, means approaches his wife, with a genuine desire to treat her properly and to not fall into acting like an animal, and I go into the situation with that in mind and with that desire and that will, saying, Hashem, help me, Hashem, help me, then now I've done my job. Because ultimately, especially at the beginning, the Yetzirah is going to kick in and I'm going to fall into being an animal at some point. And top, I've lost it again. But that's okay. Because I'm not going to be a tzaddik on day one. I can't go back this afternoon to my wife and decide right now I'm going to be completely okay. And then basically I was a tzaddik. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen initially. I have to know that Hashem is testing me. It's going to take time. He wants to see if I mean it, if I'm genuine. But my job is just to try. The results are not in my hands. But the trying is, I make my effort, and if I fall, I fall. And I accept that I fall. I accept that that's also Hashem's will. But I did my bit. I tried. I genuinely wanted this time it to be different. And that's all I need to do. Because when I get to Shemayim, my job is not, did you succeed? My job is, did you try? And if I can say, yes, I tried, that's it. I'm straight into the Gan Eden box. Because the success, the result is only in Hashem's hands. He decides whether it actually comes out good or it doesn't come out good. That's not my problem. And that's through prayer. Right? How do we know if I've tried? If I've prayed on it. If I prayed and I asked Hashem for help, then it means I tried. If I didn't ask Hashem for help and I didn't pray on it, it means I wasn't really so interested. Right? Because if I want it to happen, if I really want it to happen, I know that only Hashem can make it happen because, forget it, if I try myself, it's not going to happen. Right? So I know that I can't do it myself. And therefore, if I actually really want it to happen, I have to get His help. And if I don't ask for His help, it means I didn't really want it to happen. I was much happier staying the way it is and pretending that I don't want to act like an animal, but I really do. I do enjoy acting like an animal, and that's why I'm not asking Hashem for help, because I don't want you to stop it, please. I actually quite like the way it is. So I'm not asking you for help. And that proves that I don't have a genuine desire yet to get rid of it. Because I'm very attached to my ta'ava. I like the taste of chocolate cake. Who wants to get rid of that? I quite like it. So that's my job. My job is to get to a place where I have a genuine desire to get rid of it. And that's what takes the time. Initially, I'm asking Hashem, stop me acting like an animal. Help me be nice to my wife. Help me think about her and not think about myself. I don't really mean it. I'm just saying the words. Sounds nice, but when push comes to shove, I don't really mean it. Right? But eventually, after enough prayers, I'm actually going to start meaning that. Bezrat Hashem. I will, my Hashem will change my ratzon. My ratzon at the moment is pretty weak. My ratzon, if you ask me, we have ratzon, we have some ratzon. For sure we don't have, it's not like we have zero ratzon. We have some. But if truthfully, how much ratson do you have right now to think about your wife and not about yourself? So truth is, I've got about 10% ratson to think about her. 10%? You're thinking, but 10% is not enough. So I need to move that 10% up the scale. How do I move that up? So first of all, I move it up by really considering what I'm actually doing, how bad I'm acting. What an animal, how disgusting it is that I'm acting like this. So okay, so right, you're right, it's just good. Fine, that's just pushed me up, now up to 20%. 25%, you're right. I push myself up that scale. And I'm moving slowly. The more I do his brother do it, the more I think about it. Hashem, help me understand what's really going on here. Help me understand myself, how bad this really is, how much you really want me to act like a Ben Adam and not like an animal here. Hashem, help me understand. And then slowly I'm moving on that scale, and eventually I'm going to get past 50%. And I'm going to get into the high numbers of rats on. And eventually I'm going to get to a place where I really want this. I really want to, I want to stop acting like this. This is just not acceptable to me anymore. And I'm going to pray to Hashem from a place which is strong. And at that point, Hashem can start to give it to me.
Last week, Rabbi Hirsch said, he was making a joke. I didn't get it at first. I had to ask somebody to translate the joke for me, but he made a joke about bring people on a tour of the yeshiva and they can see all our psychiatric patients. They're talking about us.
Uh-huh.
So the and then Rabbi Dvor said that we should go out and teach everything we learn.
Yeah.
So one of the things that I do on Shabbos when we have guests over, even if we don't, because my wife is very curious about what goes on here, I always bring the books in, how I read them, even the whole piece of them, but just a sentence or two to start a discussion.
Okay.
I find that whatever book I open, wherever I go, this book is very important. So discussion, I'm not fluent in Hebrew, so I can't bring the book out. There's no English translation of it, but
which book?
This one that we're reading.
This one is?
Yeah.
This one has English?
No, the brick one.
Oh, the brick one, the blue one. This one. Right. Yeah, okay.
So but the concept of the woman being happy and having a spiritual relationship with her husband is part of what we call in American slang maintenance. Are you low maintenance? Are you high maintenance? What are you doing, for yourself?
Okay.
And how am I helping that? And I'll just give one example of that, because my wife keeps telling me that I do this.
Okay.
And so since I keep doing it, I'm not learning it yet. I keep saying, why did I say that? But if somebody looks nice on Shabbos and say, oh, gee, Sandra, you look very nice today.
Right.
My wife will say, after nobody's around, she'll say to me privately, why did you say that? She says, you're not supposed to say that. No matter what you think, right, you're not supposed to say it.
Correct.
The only woman who looks nice in front of you is me.
Right. She's read the book, you haven't.
Yeah.
straight from the pages of the book. He says that exactly. You're not allowed to compliment any other woman in front of your wife. Absolutely forbidden. It's like stabbing her in the neck, in the heart, repeatedly.
Yeah, and see, I don't get that.
Nahon, so that's why you need to pray. Read the book. I'm asking. Why? Because we're looking at our wives like us, like a replica of us. Like if someone said that, if my wife says to one of my friends, oh, it's a nice shirt. Right? Over my head, doesn't matter. That's because I'm thinking like that she's another carbon copy of me, and she's not. She's a completely different animal. She's attached to you in a way that you can't understand. A woman's only allowed to have one husband, right? But not the same for a husband. A husband, according to Jewish law, you can have a number of wives. In theory. Why? Because it's a different situation completely. She's got one link, and that's to you, and that's her complete attachment. You could have attachments to many wives, in theory. But she has to know that you can't be attached to some other woman. You can't compliment some other woman. She's like, that's me. He's giving my attention to someone else. He's giving that compliment for me. That's not for another woman. You're like stealing from her. That belongs to her. And because it belongs to her, when you take it, you're like ripping out a piece of her. Mamash, she's hurting. Hurting.
Right.
This is why I don't make compliment when I invite food, or the invite on Shabbat.
Yeah, or even
for the food. No?
Yeah, even the food, even the food, right? Even the food to say this tastes good, you're not allowed to do, because only your wife's cooking tastes good and no one else's, because she's insanely jealous. Not in a crazy way, like a psychiatric payment, but in a soul way, in an ashama way. She's insanely jealous of any other woman getting your affection or getting your attention. If you do that in front of her, that you're giving another woman attention or affection in front of her, you're killing her. Mamash, you're killing her. That's the way they're built. Whether we understand it or not. You don't have to understand it. There's lots of things I understand. I understand how the electricity is working the lights, but I still sit and flick the switch on them. I go with it. That's how it's working. Tom, this is how it's working with a woman. I don't know how to, I don't need to lift the hood and see how that works. That's how it's working. That's what our rabbis tell us. If you want to know how the way the light lights up, you have to ask an electrician. He knows how it's wired. If you want to know how the woman works, you have to ask a rabbi who spiritually knows how she's spiritually wired. And that's what they say. The woman is spiritually wired this way. And if you break the connection, you break the connection. And you say, well, it doesn't look fine to me. Yeah, but actually, I don't know. I don't know. That's... Yofi, complimenting another woman on her beauty, dangerous territory, mamash, dangerous territory. Yeah. Want to stay well clear. Tov, 3:00. Time has come. Until tomorrow, gentlemen, we shall continue.